it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. It's 8:04 a.m. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Tuesday morning. It's our brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Going to get the wake-up call here in just a couple of minutes. I think we got full phone lines, 404-726-0929. Bo just gave you his top five list of away venues. We kind of put it out there. I want to hear from you if you have a list of your own coolest sporting event or venue you've ever been to. Would love to hear from you today. And like I said, 404-726-0929. I got another one, too. We've been talking about Younghoe Koo and the quote-unquote kicking tryout that's going to happen in Flowery Branch today. If you want to call in, I want to hear what your emotions are going to be if Younghoe Koo is allowed to miss any more kicks in a Falcons uniform. That's what I want to hear about. If Younghoe Koo is allowed to go into this weekend's game against Minnesota as the kicker and misses another field goal, I want to hear how you're going to feel. Because I know that I have emotions about it. I know we all do. It's been frustrating all the way back to last year, and he was allowed to come in this year as the starting kicker. And yet here we are again having this conversation. So I want to hear from you, 404-726-0929, if you got some thoughts on that. Real quick, we're going to get Chris Lowe coming up in just a little bit. Bo, who has a bigger game this weekend? Georgia heading up to Knoxville or Georgia Tech welcoming
Georgia Tech.
Clemson to the flats?
Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech all day.
Season-defining game for Georgia Tech?
Georgia loses to Tennessee – and you go, no big deal, they'll rebound. They still go 9-3, 10-3 or whatever, and they're probably in the playoff because DC and they're Georgia.
Sure.
Georgia Tech loses. Georgia Tech beats Clemson. They're now 3-0. Seven wins away from the 10 that we said that was realistic. And they're in the driver's seat of the ACC to get into that conference title game. And they now have a win on their schedule that immediately propels them into this team can get to 9 or 10 wins. They're in a playoff conversation.
I agree with you on that front. But when you talk about them, whether or not they win or lose, when you talk about it from Georgia loss aspect in terms of Georgia Tech winning, but I think if you flip it around, it's like Georgia Tech losing that game, you'd just be like, well, they lost to Clemson. You thought they were going to lose. They were underdogs.
But it's a bigger game for Tech if they win, and it's a bigger deal if they lose. Like if Tech loses, there now you're trying to looking at the saying, hey, we got to salvage this and we got to do this and that. You know, Georgia Tech wins, they set themselves up for everything. Georgia loses, you're like, you're Georgia. You're still going to probably – you get a chance to beat Texas at home. You get to go on the, to Jacksonville to beat – you get a chance to beat Florida. You got all these – this is a really big game for Tech to put themselves in the conversation. Georgia's got plenty of other chances. Tech does not have near as many chances to put them in that conversation to me.
Yeah.
You play a weaker schedule.
That's probably a fair point on that end of the argument. All right, 404-726-0929. I want to hear from you guys. Let's hit this thing.
Woo!
Full phone lines today. Phone lines today. Appreciate you guys listening and weighing in, as always.
Kudos to your topic, Bo.
Thank you. Real quick, a few guys that are, as of yesterday, were still out there kicker-wise. Just to give our people something to think about.
A little fodder. Okay.
Dustin Hopkins, Greg Zuerlein, Eddie Pinheiro, Michael Bagley. Oh, that's the name I mess up.
You get Pinheiro right.
Greg Joseph, Austin Siebert, Zane Gonzalez, Cade York, and Matt McCrane. Prater was obviously
picked
off. Krieg is the guy they put out there as well. And then Riley Patterson, he was elevated from the Dolphins practice squad for week one.
We've ridden that ride before. Let's go to the first call. Hey, let's start with Norris over in Jackson, Georgia. Norris, what's going on this morning, bud?
Hey, good morning, brother. How you feeling this morning?
Hey, I'm living the dream.
Amen. Praise God. Listen, I was thinking about the competition they had for Coo over the winter period or the
off season, yeah.
The off season. They brought this guy in, had never kicked an NFL game before, and really had no competition. Coo didn't have any competition.
Yeah.
He won the position by default.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you.
To this guy.
Yeah,
man, you got to have a kicker that has kicked in the NFL before and have his spirits kicking. This guy has done it. He's done. He can't kick anything hardly anymore.
All right. I appreciate the phone call, Norris. And I actually agree with that. Like, it wasn't that Coo went out and won this competition. It's that Krieg was never a part of it.
Right.
We all witnessed that out there at practice. It was like, yeah, Koo's going to be the kicker because the other guy's like 2 of 5 today.
I think that was one of the first things you said when we were out at training camp. You're like, is this kicking competition making you nervous?
Neither one looked good on day one. It was like, yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy AJ over in Fayetteville. AJ, what's going on this morning? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, happy Tuesday morning, Chef. There's two things, man. I got a wake-up call for Raheem Morris.
Okay.
If we're talking about a kicking competition after week one, what you call that doing spring training and spring camp, summer camp. But also on Bo's list, I have to agree with Bo's list, but one thing that I would add, one venue, would be in Detroit.
Ooh.
That is an intimidating place to play. I've visited there to travel with the Falcons to see there, and man, it rumbles your insides.
Yeah, that's an absolutely perfect call. Thank you so much for winning. I've
been there when
I'm with them on that.
Yeah, one. Yeah. No, it's a great environment.
They are on top of you in that place.
It is, but it's just not a place that I think it's because it's Detroit. Really, would I want to play there in a playoff game?
Yeah.
No, because I think it would be really loud. But the these places I've been, the ones I listed on there, I've had loud. It's been felt like louder, but it's just been more. Just felt bigger.
Boy, I
guess.
Got a,
but Detroit's a good one.
I got a block in the back call on an Eric Weems kickoff return there, and I blamed it on somebody else.
How'd the film
get to the sideline of Keith Armstrong's like, who was it? I'm like, I don't know. I'm looking around the sideline. Like, I don't know who it was, Keith. I don't know who it was. Might have been that guy over there.
Not even when they called out 79.
They didn't. That's the thing. They got the number wrong. They called out Anton Smith. They called out Anton Smith on the return as getting a blocking back, and he was like, I don't even touch anybody. and I was like, yeah. And I definitely saw the laundry at my feet, and I was like, I don't know who it was. Keith's like, man, y'all like working in a prison, man. Ain't nobody ever guilty up in here.
Hey, how did film study go?
Unfortunately, I wasn't part of it because I got injured later in the game,
oh,
and I was not
bad.
Part of it. Yeah, no, it's all good. I got injured on a field goal in that game. Yeah, I got injured the double pushers. Yeah,
right.
The Dominican Sue, the field goal attempt. Unfortunate. Anyways, let's not get too off topic. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Gary over in Calhoun. Gary, happy Tuesday, man.
How's it going, guys?
Living the dream.
Hey, I believe you. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to agree with Bo on that New Orleans thing about how tough it is a place to play.
Mm-hmm.
But for us old-timer Falcons fans, it holds a special place in history, though. In 1978, the Big Ben Wright play.
Tell us about it.
But, that's just my take on it. But it does hold us. It has some bad memories, but it also has some good ones.
Wait. Tell me about the play, because obviously I was not alive in 1978. Tell me, Gary. Tell me what happened in
1978. Saints take the lead late in the game. We got less than 30 seconds on the clock. We're on about our own 30-yard line. Gotta have a touchdown. All right. Steve Bartkowski is a quarterback.
Right.
You have Wallace Francis, Alfred Jenkins, and Alfred Jackson are your wide receivers. So Jenkins and Francis take off down the sideline, and Jackson's going up the hash.
Okay.
So Bartkowski heaves it, and it was about at the New Orleans 30, 25-yard line. You know, the New Orleans offensive backs are back there expecting the long bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, they all jump up in the air. The ball is tipped, and Alfred Jackson's purposely trailing the play because he's going to sneak back in behind him and catch the ball and run for a touchdown, and that's exactly what happened. Look it up on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
The ball is batted up at the 15.
Sounds like the Bluegrass Miracle.
And he's right. He he just kind of trails in and just catches it off of Karam and walks into the end zone.
Now, did you just look it up?
Yeah, I've seen it before, but I did not have near the recall in it because I also was not born in 1978.
I was going to say I wasn't alive then, but Bo might have been. Hey, let's try to sneak one more in. Let's go to Jay in Stockbridge. Jay, what's going on this morning?
Oh, guys, good morning.
Hey, man. Hey, cut it. Jay, we'll try to get you back on the line, man. We're losing a little reception. Hey, Dylan, let's go to Sam over in Marietta. Sam, what's going on, boss?
Good morning, hey, Chef. How y'all doing? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, man,
I want to first shout out the last caller. I was born in 1990, and that was like a great visual of him, like, remembering.
Right? I said the same thing.
It was
thing.
So great. I was like, oh, this is so cool. It's taking me there.
Yeah, I agree.
But, I've been to Foxborough. The stadium was great, but I ended up getting into a fight and having to leave. The fans were definitely terrible. That was like after the Super Bowl. I thought we were going to, you know, go get our face back. But outside, the food, people were, you know, giving me food. That was great. I also went to Arrowhead, and I did not know their baseball stadium is literally across, like, literally in the same parking lot. And I thought that was so dope. I've gone to Carolina. Their stadium is cool. I really hate to say this, but Tampa Bay, their stadium is slick, nice, and you know, when they score, they blow those cannons. And though I think that's one of the coolest things ever.
Yeah, I agree with that, man.
Would be my first time going to New Orleans, so I'm excited about that. Hopefully, I'm doing the Hawks and the Falcons, but I need to survive for Sunday, so I may just, you know, crank the Sunday game.
Hey Sam, don't get any fights down there, man. Let's keep all our hands to ourselves.
Baltimore does that.
Yeah.
Philadelphia does that as well, where their stadiums are in the same parking lot.
Yep.
And he's right about Tampa Bay. That's why Gene Deckerhoff on the Tampa Bay call goes, "Fire those cannons," when they score. It's kind of fun.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I can't remember where it used to be. Enron. What's the Houston stadium called now? The baseball stadium. I don't know. But isn't the Astrodome still next to
NRG
Stadium?
It is next to. In fact, when we.
That's a creepy looking joint.
When we pulled
up, Astrodome is dilapidated. Yeah.
When we pulled up, well, they still have events there.
I don't think they do now.
Yeah,
but I know
they
did back when I went like 5-10 years ago.
I'm pretty sure they still do. Maybe I'm wrong, but when we pulled up for the Super Bowl, got off and I looked right over and there it was. I was like, man.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way,
ding.
The Astros Park is now called Daikin Park? Daikin?
Daikin? I can't keep up. I thought it was Enron.
That was Tampa Bay? Minute Maid?
I've been to that stadium before. It was Tropicana.
You know, also,
that's right.
Steinbrenner Field is actually across the street from Tampa Bay, Tampa's, which is a AAA stadium.
Yeah.
It's a spring training stadium, but that's where Tampa's playing this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to count, but it does right now. Anyway.
Well, what is the coolest venue you have been to? What stadium that you've been to? We are continuing this conversation on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. Coming up, though, we'll get some more insights from Mike and Bo on what they've been seeing in that Falcons game since reviewing the film. And we've got them mic'd up.
Yeah, we got them mic'd up. Speaking of keeping your hands to yourself, Sam, I'm going to continue to talk about this fallout from Lamar Jackson, whether he was right or wrong. That's coming up next.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.